Good morning, church. Good to see you all today. We got a new microphone today, so I hope it's going to work. If you are a guest, we are glad to have you. My name is John Paul Sachecki. If there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. For everyone else, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here and lead you all in worship. Today I'm going to be doing something I have never done before, and I'm doing it at the request of one of you. I'm going to be talking about heaven and hell, but I'm not going to be dyeing my hair red while I do it. I'm sorry, I just could not fulfill that promise. Can you imagine what I'd look like with red hair? I know I'd be really handsome, right? Oh, tough crowd today. I guess I'll keep my day job and get rid of stand-up comedy. But I've never actually talked about this subject before. I mean, I talk about it in terms of, okay, this is our reward. But I've never actually looked at what the Bible actually says about heaven and hell. And so that's what I've decided to do today, is I've decided to actually look at what it means to go to one of these two places according to the Bible. But before I get there, I want to talk about a few other things. And the first one is why we die. Everyone dies. Yep. The only thing certain in life, actually they say the only thing certain in life are death and taxes. You might be able to escape one if you're a really bad person, but you will not escape the other one. You are every day, one day closer to your death. And we kind of talked a little bit about that last week. But there's a reason we all die, and the Bible basically says mostly it's because sin produces death. Or as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So because there's sin in the world, and because, as Paul says in Romans, everyone has sinned, not one person hasn't. We are basically all going to die because of that sin. We also learn that sin passed in the world through two people, Adam and Eve. Sin and death passes from Adam and Eve to humanity. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spreads to all men because all have sinned. So, sin produces death. Sin came because Adam and Eve. Now, you're still responsible. Just because Adam and Eve sinned doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to sin, but it's in our nature too. And so, because it's in our nature, we do. And maybe it takes us a while to realize those repercussions of sin, but at some point you're going to see, to understand that you have done wrong, especially wrong against God. And finally, what we see is everyone has that appointment. You can kind of speed along that appointment, but you have that appointment with death. And so because you have that appointment, it cannot be delayed. It is something that is going to happen. Fortunately, I think this is a fortunately, you don't know when. I think it would be really depressing to know when you were going to die. But fortunately, we don't know when. And that's kind of a good thing. So, because we all know that we're going to die, we don't know when we're going to die, which question should we ask ourselves when it comes to this subject? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Or, according to the song by Audio Adrenaline, do you know where you're going to go? It can happen any day. It can happen anywhere. It can happen while you're napping in your easy chair. It can happen at home. It can happen at school. And it can happen while you're scatting like a scatting fool. Do you know where you're going to go? Who knows? Okay, about 20 of you. The rest of you, I think we need to have a talk. I think the answer is very, very obvious. However, if you look at every major religion in the world, or even just every major belief in the world, it's basically narrowed down to, there's seven different ideas. I'm not saying all these ideas are valid. I'm just saying these are the seven ideas. And the first one is, when you die, you're not going anywhere. Nothing. You're gonna get dirty. Your body's going to go to that dust. And so this is pretty much what atheists and agnostic people think. There's also what I believe this is Hinduism. You return, and this idea is called reincarnation. And if you were good, you might become better. Or if you were bad, you might become worse. So ideally, the man in this section is the highest symbol. So I must have been really good in past life to make it this far. Nirvana is also kind of a little bit of a Hindu belief, this state of nothingness. It's kind of like you exist, but there's nothing. It doesn't seem really pleasant to me. There's Scientology, which is really out there. Is anybody familiar with Scientology? If you're not, that's probably a fortunate thing for you. Basically, you return to space. The Catholics believe in something called purgatory, or limbo. And this is the idea of when you die, you go to this waiting place. And eventually you get to go to heaven, but you have to go to this waiting place first, where you atone for your sins in this waiting place. In fact, Pope John Paul II, no relation, said that he was even going to go to this waiting place, but he believed he wouldn't be there very, very long because millions of people would be praying for him to get out. Interestingly enough, this is kind of like how cathedrals started, is they people would pay money to get their loved ones out of purgatory. And then we have our beliefs is you go to heaven or you go to hell, which we're going to talk about right now. So where are you going to go? What would you rather go to? Based on what you would have to say, I don't know if anybody would choose the right one. Or in this case, the one on the right. Not right as opposed to wrong. But let's talk about what the Bible actually has to say about this. And the Bible talks about hell a lot. Now, the Bible kind of uses some words interchangeably here. So I'm not going to be focusing on when the Bible talks about Hades, and I'm not going to be focusing on when the Bible talks about Sheol. I'm going to be talking about the actual place of hell, even though sometimes it calls it with those names. So let's look at what it says according to the Old Testament. According to the Old Testament, hell is not an upwards place. It is a downwards place. We see this in Proverbs 15:24. What does that mean? Hell is not an upwards place. Well, the idea is if you are good, you kind of ascend and go up. And if you are bad, you go down. So the idea is this is the bad thing. Hell is for the people who go down. We also see, according to Ezekiel 32:27, it is a punishment for man's iniquity. This is a really fancy word for sin. So if you're bad, if you sin, you're going to hell, according to Ezekiel. It is a place, this is where, an interesting one that Psalms 9:47 says, it is a place where the wicked return to, which means the wicked come out of this place as well. Now, this could be referring to the wickedness, like we kind of think of devils or demons coming out of this area. But according to what we're going to see in James, that this could be the wickedness in ourselves as well. Most of you, when you think of hell, you probably think of fire and brimstone. There's a lot of support for this. Especially in Isaiah, we see Isaiah 30 and Isaiah 33 where it talks about this imagery. And it is also a place where there is decay. Decay means it's death. It's dying. Nothing is living. New Testament, what do we see about the New Testament? It is where our iniquities come from. So James says that our sins, our sinful nature comes from hell. Especially when he talks about the tongue. And this is in verse 3-6. It's where our souls go when they don't go through God. I think this is probably, we get this terrible imagery of hell with fire and brimstone. But I think the saddest part is that it's eternity without God. Not necessarily the suffering. That's pretty bad. but it is the eternity of not spending with God. Again, we see more of the devil is thrown into this place. It is a place of darkness and for reserved judgment. Or basically, if your name is not found in the book of life, this is where you're going to go. Now, a lot of people all over the Old Testament and New Testament talk about this place. But do you know the one person to talk about this place more than anybody? Jesus. Surprisingly, it's not something I mean, I know Jesus talked about it, but until I actually started this study, I didn't realize how much Jesus talks about this subject. And quite a bit. Now, he has a lot of overlap, but this is what some of the main points that I got from Jesus' discussion on this subject. And he's very harsh about what this place is and who are the kind of people who go there. And we see a lot of this in Matthew and a little bit in Luke. He says, "For those who call their brothers and sisters fools are liable to the fires of hell." Is where both body and soul are destroyed, as we read here at the beginning. "Fear not those who can destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul." It is a place that God can send you. And I don't think God willy-nilly chooses to send people here. God is very, very clear how to get to heaven. And he says, if you do not meet those requirements, this is the alternative. So it's not necessarily God is sending you there. It is God sending you there because you failed to fulfill those requirements. Matthew, when you go, if one part of your body causes you to sin. So Jesus says it's better to tear out one eye than to go into hell with both eyes. It's where the worms and the fire do not die. But out of all of these, I think the most important thing is that Jesus is greater than the power of hell. So we see this terrible imagery of what this terrible place is. But then we see this great shining beacon that there's something much greater than that terrible place. And that is Jesus. Does anybody want to go to this place? I don't even think I'd want to be there for a second. Luckily, there's a much, much, much better place. And it is a promise to all of those who follow Jesus. And so what is heaven like? I can say I want to go there, but can I tell you what it's like? Yes, I can. Heaven is a place that has solid real estate. Or is what John says, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may also be." Jesus isn't the only one to describe heaven this way. Isaiah describes heaven this way. People talk about heaven as being a mansion. We sing about heaven being a mansion. People talk about heaven as being a beautiful garden or a fruitful place. Revelation describes, actually physically gives, dimensions of what heaven is like. It talks about it being miles and miles and miles long. If you want a visual, has anybody ever seen the country of Saudi Arabia? If you actually take the dimensions, that's roughly the size of the dimensions mentioned in the book of Revelation. Is that accurate or speaking hyperbole? I'm not sure. But it's just something interesting that I wanted to share with you. But we see that heaven has solid real estate. It's a place that you're physically going to go to. It is also a place where all things will be made new. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city." Again, we see more imagery of the real estate. "New Jerusalem come down out of heaven, for God prepared it as a bride adorned for her husband." So it is a place where everything is going to be made new. Bright and shiny. It does not decay. There's no death. There's no destruction. It is all new. Just like you are given a new body by believing in Christ, so is heaven and earth when God comes, is somewhere new. It is place, this is my one of my two favorite spots about heaven. It is where man and God will dwell together. And behold, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with him, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Can I get an amen out of that? So, to me, it doesn't matter that everything's going to be made new. It doesn't matter that it's going to be that we're going to have physical real estate. But it matters that I will get to be with God. Now, I'm with God right now. But frankly, I'm very uncomfortable with this because I can't see God. I can't touch him. I can't have a two-way conversation with him like I have with David. But when I get to heaven, I finally get to have all of those things. And I'm really excited about that. I love my relationship with God now. But I can only imagine that once I get those other things, at least I hope so, that it's going to be so much more. There's no pain and there's no sorrow in heaven. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. The last 2 weeks, we've had some very interesting topics to talk about. We talked about mental illness, and we talked about marching towards our end. These are all things that weigh heavily on our hearts. And they're all things that cause us pain. But when we get to heaven, those are not going to be concerns. You're not going to be anxious about things. You're not going to have to worry anymore. You're not going to have any cares or concerns. Because those things are not going to exist in heaven. But even better than that, it is a place of great joy and a place to rejoice. But be glad and rejoice forever in which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem. In this case, he's talking about the new Jerusalem that we also see talked about in Revelation. To be a joy and her people to be a gladness. We have this every Sunday. We read this list here, and then we talk about, and then we talk to you about what are your prayer concerns. And I like doing that, and I think it's a great thing that we get to do this. However, we almost never mention praises. We're always focusing on the sad, and we need to focus on the sad. But when we get there, the sad will no longer exist. They'll only be the praise. And isn't that much better? I can't wait for the day that there is no more sadness, but there is only praise to be with your God and with your Savior. Let's skip ahead a little bit. It is a place of perfect peace. As Isaiah says in 65, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the dust shall be the serpent's food, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So Isaiah says that when you get to heaven, there's not going to be any more conflict. He uses this imagery of wolf and lamb, natural enemies. Lion is not going to have any desire to hunt. And you won't have any desire to fight. Because it is a place of peace. Created by the peacemaker. Finally, though there's probably more I could say about this subject, but what I'm going to close off is this last point. It is where Jesus is. as we read in Acts 1:10, and while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And he said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come to the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So just like we will be with God, we will also be with our Savior. And we know that because we know He went there. And He says that He is preparing a place for us for when we go there. There are probably other things that you can think of which make heaven a great place. But I don't think any of them compare to being with God and being with Jesus. So, yes, sorry. We're all going to die. It's a fact. And it's not a fact we like to talk about. You cannot stop it from happening. But you can control where you're going to go. Death is not our enemy, but Jesus is our victor. And because He died, and through His resurrection, we have that opportunity to go through heaven by dying with Him and living for Him. If this is something you don't have, or if this is something you would like to know, or if there's something we could do to help you, please come as we stand this song.